This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. You may have noticed that we have moved time slots from the weekend and promoted ourselves to a Wednesday 8 p.m. slot. Thank you very much for tuning in, ladies and gents. As usual, in the studio with me today is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello, and I just want to point out something. It's no longer just a business station. It's a business and a motoring station.
There we go. And of course, as usual, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
Hello, everybody.
Ladies and gents, if you'd like to get in touch with the show this evening, you can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter or on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio.
We have a BFM Cruise Control Instagram page, so at BFM Cruise Control.
Before all of that, then, we have some news coming up, and then a little bit later on, we've got some other news and a car review. With us being prime time now, we have a very expensive car to review.
Prime car. Prime car. It's like prime meat.
It's a Mercedes Maybach S560.
Yep.
All coming up. First, though, as usual, as ever, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif, what's going off in Malacca?
You know, there's, again, national car project and everything, and all the talk about building stuff to support the project. Mm-hmm. The Minister of Entrepreneur Development, Muhammad Rizwan Muhammad Yusof, says that he wants the government to start building a planned ecosystem.
Where in particular?
Where in particular? Alor Gajah, Malacca, where he is an MP. He is YB Muhammad Rizwan Muhammad Yusof. And he says, like, you know, this whole planned ecosystem thing will help spur the growth of and help start up the new national car project.
Well, he's got a point.
Yeah, he does have a point. It's a pretty good point. But, you know, the fact that he, as an MP, is telling the government.
I suspect those conversations have been happening elsewhere as well.
But with other states.
It's just that this one has decided to be a bit more open with his discussion.
He says that it's kind of a strategic location, this Alor Gajah, because apparently the Honda factory is over there.
It's a big factory. It's a really huge big facility. Factory.
So I guess he's banking on the fact that once the new national car project, the planned ecosystem, he says, will include facilities to build cars, obviously, incentives for investors to build stuff in Alor Gajah, as well as the logistics makes it easier for, you know, car parts to be passed around.
Just in case you can't see Arif in the studio, he's waving around.
I gotta do it. And yeah, as well as you know, existing power sources, because it, you know, it requires a lot of energy to build these plants. So it is, you know, quite a good idea to put in Alor Gajah, but, you know, at the end of the day, he says, oh, it's up to the government to pick the right choice.
Let's just ask Daniel for his thoughts on this.
My thoughts are very simple. No.
Okay. No, why?
No,
why?
No to the third national car. Right. No to another car factory. Let's get it right now with all the existing car factories.
Mm. Yep.
Let's not build another one before we can't even sort out the current car factories.
So we said last week,
yes.
Partner,
yes.
Instead of, you know,
building a whole new factory and then, you know, spending so much money. Yes, a lot of people get rich doing this. Contractors, cement supplier, brick supplier,
right.
Labor supplier, food supplier, everything else. But if you can't build the car proper and you can't sell it and Malaysians don't accept it, think about it. Malaysians were not accepting Proton for such a long time. In comes Geely, overnight success.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about those Malaysians, and there are a lot of them, that say, you know, why should we partner when we could pioneer?
You want to pioneer, you must have the brains.
I'm not saying me.
I'm not saying we don't have the brains, but it's a lot of technology, a lot of brain power to start a whole new electric car program. And I think this is not going to happen, you know, in the next 10 or 15 years in Malaysia. Mm. If Indonesia has got such a huge population, Thailand with such a huge population, already partnering, we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Why would Malaysia want to start from scratch and, you know, try and catch up? By that time, Indonesia and Thailand would have produced a whole bunch of models, all electric, under the regional agreement, sell it in Malaysia for a respective price. And we are coming with this, you know, this starter project. I say no, lah.
Okay.
The country doesn't have enough money to do this.
All right. So let me throw this one out at you then. So, I mean, and I agree with that, I have to admit. What about the established car manufacturers that are already here in Malaysia? You know, what do you think? I'm not asking you to speak on their behalf, but I am.
Okay.
What do you think their suggestion to the government would be about something like
this? Well, if it comes from the German brands, they already have a foothold here. It's so easy for them to just immediately start doing something. But German cars are expensive because of the currency exchange.
Yeah.
So then you go to the Japanese brands. And then the Japanese brands are not heavy into electric technology. They are heavy into hybrid and partial electric. You know, they're working towards that.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so you end up, you heard it first here, Link & Co. from China. Electric,
okay.
Part of Geely.
Yeah.
They're already testing the car. I've repeated this so many times. Why don't they just partner with them? Or maybe they've already partnered. Maybe the agreement is already signed. And all this is just fluff.
Right.
I guess we got to wait to find out.
We got to wait.
All right, let's move on then. Discount or not?
Yep. So a couple of weeks ago, we announced that Anthony Loke will be removing any sort of discounts for JPJ summonses. But there was a fine print there that said police traffic summonses, it's kind of up to the police to decide whether they still want to offer it or not.
What? Wait. So he's got no discount, but if the police say there's discount, got discount.
Yeah, because I think the reason is you get two different tickets, right? Never gotten a JPJ ticket.
JPJ summonses is normally because you did something wrong with the vehicle, like tinted glass,
yes.
Or your exhaust is too loud, you know, things like that. Police summons is traffic violation.
Right. Going on the traffic violations thing, right? The IGP, Tan Sri Muhammad Fuziharun, says that they are not going to make a decision. They are going to ask the whole ministry to make a decision on whether or not discounts should be had. And according to him, discounts are always well received amongst the public. So,
well, of course!
Yeah, I mean, I've always had this question, though. Do you think it's ever been effective?
Of course. When you say discount, people pay.
Yeah.
Because they think, okay, there's a discount. You know, there's 30 days now, discount period, pay your summonses.
Yeah.
But if immediately you tell people, hey, no discount, no Rotex. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, even if the discounts exist, you know, it's encouraging enough that people go and pay some of the summonses.
Fair enough. At least
even
the
if they don't
ones.
Clear them, they pay something and that contributes a little bit.
Yes. I mean, we've got like over, what, 350 million or something like that? It's just unpaid.
That money's needed.
Yeah, okay.
For now, however, JPJ summons, no discounts at all. And police summonses, you still might have a discount there.
And on that note, we'll leave it and we'll take a very short break, of course. You are listening to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9 on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. 018-789-8899. FM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello and good evening.
And of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roos. Say hello.
Good evening, everybody.
If you are only just tuning in, we have spoken about how Malacca, somebody in particular, the MP of Alugaja, has said he would like Malacca to be the third national car hub. I wonder why.
He signed a deal with Honda to become the third national car.
Maybe. But that's out. That's speculative. We don't know the answer to that. But of course, let us know what you think about that. Then we're also talking about whether or not there's a discount or not, because we're as confused as you are about whether or not you have a discount on some of these fines. Some say that the discounts are well received amongst the public. Of course, we know that. JPJ is saying no discounts. Potentially, police summonses still have a discount, but we're not sure. Again, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. Now, we're going to move on now. We have some car news, some launches. Then we're going to move into our car review, which, of course, is the Mercedes Maybach S560. That's all coming up in a minute. Right. Tell me what Maserati are doing.
Yeah, so
apart from looking fine.
Daniel's favorite car brand, I think, from what we've seen.
Maserati is a wonderful car brand.
Oh, there it is. We've waited how long now?
But, you know, I've always been criticizing them quite a lot because their models are so old. They really need a new refresh.
Yeah, but they are very beautifully built, very beautifully sculptured.
Beauty isn't everything. But anyway, the new boss of FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automotive, Michael Manley, says it was kind of a mistake to bundle Alfa and Maserati together. So
that I agree.
They treated Maserati as a regular mass market brand, not
luxury
brand.
Which is not.
It's pretty bad. So as a result, they've decided to change things up. They want to revamp their lineup, introduce possibly a bunch of new models. It's all going to use the Giorgio platform, which underpins the Alfa Giulia and the Stelvio, which are really excellent cars. So if, you know, if everything turns out right, Maserati may be pretty damn good in the future.
But it could also mean that Maserati prices will go up, which is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Because Alfa prices can't come down. They're already at that level, you know? So this, because Maserati being sort of like a mass brand, made it a lot reachable for BMW and Mercedes owners to have a slight upgrade, you know?
Yeah,
like if you're going to get a BMW 530 with the M-Spec, you pay a little bit more, you get a Maserati Ghibli. So that was something which sold very well. But now if they do this, I hope they're not going to push the price up, and then Maserati will sell in less numbers, especially in this part of the world.
But then wouldn't that make it, I mean, it's already premium, but then it'd be that super premium thing again. It's like, you know, people saying, I have a Maserati.
That's true. You
know? True.
It's all about the name there.
Yeah. But, you know, in this market today, you want to sell as many as possible. That's true. Everybody wants to sell as many as possible.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Next.
Next, we've got news about Mazda's holy grail petrol engine called the SkyActiv X. We finally got some new details about it. It's probably going to turn up in a 2.5-liter version, so it's not going to be that kind on our road tax here. But it's a naturally aspirated engine for the most part, and it offers a similar turbo power figures without actually having a turbo. So this engine should come out in the new CX-3, CX-5, Mazda 3, almost all of Mazda's lineup, basically. Right. And it's going to have about 178 horsepower with 222 newton meters of torque, which is slightly above every other Japanese manufacturer's sort of similar price cars, right?
True, but I'm a little bit worried because, you know, everybody's downsizing and Mazda is not downsizing. I mean, SkyActiv is great, but, you know, if you don't downsize, you're going to lose out in a lot of market share because 2.5, I think a lot of people will shy away from the fact that Rotax and, you know, the perceived issue of high fuel consumption related to a big capacity engine.
Yep.
It might be fuel efficient, but, you know, Joe Public, who do not listen to this show, will still say, oh, big capacity engine, I'm going to use more fuel, I'll buy a 2-liter or a 1.6 turbo.
Apparently, Mazda are claiming that it saves up to about 20 to 30% fuel compared to the previous engines, the SkyActiv G that's in the current Mazdas right now. But it's, you know, it's a really impressive engine. Moving on, we've got some local launches.
Okay.
I remember at CLIMS, Kia showed a Picanto GT line. Last week, it finally got released, 58,000 ringgit for an Axia-sized car, really.
But it's not the price of a Myvi.
It is. It is.
And it's a Kia. So I'm thinking, why aren't people looking at this car?
Exactly. I mean, the car itself, it comes with 8,000 ringgit worth of kit. And it includes stuff like the automatic emergency braking, a bunch of extended safety systems, and a really, really sweet-looking body kit.
Yeah. And it's a cute-looking car.
It's a cute-looking car. So, you know, instead of going for that Myvi for your kit, you know, maybe they would want a Kia. Yeah.
Just give them the option.
Yeah.
You know? Have a look at something else. True. Okay.
We also caught sight of the Toyota RAV4 TRD version, didn't we?
Yes. This car, basically, there's rumors that Toyota Malaysia is going to bring it in.
Yeah.
Not the TRD version, the normal RAV4. But I personally think, if they're going to hit the market, because the RAV4 has not been in Malaysia for almost 15 years.
Yeah.
They've been out of Malaysia for 15 years. Of course, you see grey import ones coming in. But because there's no assembly in the region, they don't bring it in because it's made in Japan.
Yeah.
Now, if they bring it from Japan, it's going to be expensive. So when I asked them how much, they didn't want to tell me. So I did a speculation. And how I did my speculation is very simple. The Toyota CHR comes with 150,000.
Yeah.
That's from Japan. The Toyota Harrier comes from Japan at 250,000. So this is the middle child. So it should be around 199,000.
Right.
That sounds like a good spot to be, actually. Yes. Is it a 5-seater?
It's a 5-seater. It's a normal SUV. It's the same class as the Honda CHR, the Mazda CX-5, the Subaru Forester. But why I'm emphasizing on the TRD version, because if you're going to come into the market for the first time after 15 years, you need to make a bang.
Yeah.
You need to make a splash. So even though you can sell the normal one for, say, 180, 190, you bring the TRD version, you price it just below 200,000. A lot of people say, no, I won't buy it, I don't think so, and all that. But you'll sell. Because why? Same thing with the CHR.
Yeah.
Everyone said, too expensive, 150. You know, the Honda HR-V is 110, ridiculous pricing, blah, blah, blah. Sold out.
It's everywhere on the road.
Yes, sold out. So people actually want something different and something premium. If you look at the pictures, The interior looks really nice.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, move on then.
We've got the Audi TT RS facelift.
Nice.
It's
nice.
Really nice car. They've
But it doesn't look all that different.
No, it doesn't. They, again, like we mentioned last week, Volkswagen doesn't do much during yes. facelift. Even no real upgrades for the engine as
exactly.
well. They just really nip and tuck again.
Exactly. This is something you can do locally with some stickers.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Nothing really different. Yeah.
And now, a car that none of us could ever afford.
Exactly.
It's the Bugatti Chiron Sport 110 on Bugatti. So this is the Bugatti Chiron that they built to celebrate 110 years of Bugatti. It comes with a steel blue carbon paint job. It is really, really pretty. It's kind of matte, but not. Mm. I don't know how to describe it. And it has a big French flag under the rear
well,
wing.
Well, no problem. Just go to dsf.my. All the pictures
Yeah, all the pictures are there.
There you go. Check it out on the website. That was the car news for this week. But don't go anywhere. Moving right along, we have a car review coming up right now. But don't forget, if you're only just tuning in, this is Cruise Control, the car review, the car show here on BFM. We've had news pieces on Malacca wanting to become the third National Car Hub, discount or not, talking about summonses, JPJ saying no discounts, the police summonses still
yep.
possibly have discounts.
Yep.
Car launches we've had so far. If you've missed any part, don't forget the podcast will be up shortly. You can get that on the app, which is available in the App Store or Google Play or even on Spotify. Now, with all that mumbling done, we thought we've launched into a new time slot on a Wednesday night. We're super premium. Why not give you a super premium car review? Daniel, what have you got for us this week?
Oh, I've got a... I can't express it. This car was designed for you, Richard.
Oh, for me?
Designed
okay,
for you.
Okay.
Designed for the, you know, the expat in Malaysia.
Oh.
Working in this high-profile paint job.
You see, you paint me this picture of aspiration, of things that I want to be of luxury.
Yes.
And I'm none of those things.
No, you are because you live in Bangsa. Anyway, this is the Mercedes Maybach S560. Why such a long name? Okay, Mercedes-Benz Maybach. Previously, Maybach was a standalone brand. Okay, under Mercedes-Benz, of course, but they designed the cars, same platform, they'll share with the S-Class, but a different look and feel.
Right.
And they sold pretty okay, but they didn't capture the imagination of buyers around the world, like how Bentley did and Rolls-Royce. I think Mercedes-Benz was saying, okay, listen, you know, there's Bentley, there's Rolls-Royce, there's Jaguar. Let's just tickle them and come up with a Maybach. And, you know, this Maybach brand has been around for a long time. Mm. Even I think, pre-war, so, you know.
Right. I'm surprised you haven't picked up on the kind of hip-hop link here, Daniel.
Because the hip-hop.
Yeah, before, you were telling us how you're a hip-hopper and, you know. And
yeah, I hip. My hip got problem.
Okay, now you hop.
And I hop when right. I have a leg problem.
Got it.
So the S560 is an S-Class Mercedes-Benz. But now what has happened is Mercedes-Benz has said, we will just take a normal Mercedes-Benz S-Class and build it up to a very high spec and call it a Maybach. So basically what you get is an S-Class, the top of the range, but with all the bells and whistles that they can conjure up from any supplier and just put it in. So, you know, if you get this car, you pick it up, you think to yourself, okay, it's an S-Class. Yes, it's got a different grille, it's got a slightly different face, but ultimately, it's an S-Class long wheelbase.
Right.
So, it's a Mercedes-Benz, which you would normally pay about 900,000 ringgit. Now, it's almost 1.4 million. So, what do you get for that extra 500,000? Pretty much a lot.
A lot.
Okay. Of course, the interior look and feel is the same, but you get a lot of features. Too long to mention on a very short primetime show. But I want to say this. You know, when I got into this car, I didn't drive it, okay? My colleague picked it up and I said, let's go for a drive. So I sat in the back, you know.
Oh, you wanted the whole limo experience.
I wanted the whole limo experience. I wanted to see whether, you know, I fit that profile that you do. Mm. Now, when I got into the car, I sat inside, you know, very comfortable, very nice, quiet. He drove around the crowded areas of Petaling Jaya. You know, the suspension is beautiful. You know, you don't feel so much. You waft. You know, that's the right word. You waft along, you know. And, you know, even though it's got a big engine, it's got a powerful engine, you don't want to drive fast in a car like this, you know. That V8 bi-turbo is very responsive. But you don't want to be going fast. Because why? You want people to see you inside. You want to be doing that royal wave, you know.
You want them to see my back on the back as well.
Exactly. You don't want them to say, oh, another S-Class with an Indian guy at the back. No. You want them to say, this Indian guy in a Maybach. He's not just the average guy.
It's the sort of car that, you know, you want to be seen passing by KLCC exactly. at 40 kilometers an hour.
Exactly.
Or booming past at 200 miles an hour.
Well, you know, that if you're rushing to pick up someone. But, you know, but end of the day, I was wearing a T-shirt. That's the point. Because you wear a T-shirt, immediately you know, okay, the driver is out with his friend. But it's very comfortable.
Yeah.
Very quiet. Very dignified. Very, you know, impressive to the point of being, you know, like in a really expensive shoe, you know?
Yes.
You know,
really, almost like you shouldn't be wearing socks.
Yeah, you know? Like a handmade shoe,
right.
You know? It fits you just perfectly. You know, you can lounge at the back. You've got beautiful seats. It reclines. It's got, you know, little table for you to put your laptop. But I had some problems with this car.
Yeah.
Number one. Before you even go down with the 10-point review. Number one, nobody really noticed me.
That's a big problem.
I spent 1.4 million ringgit and nobody noticed me. But you know, when some years back, I think about 8-9 years ago, when there was an actual Maybach in Malaysia and we took it out and people noticed because it's a different shape. It's a different vehicle. But when it looks like a regular S-Class with some changes to the front, general public says, oh, that's an S-Class which he went and modified, you know? Mm-hmm. No one really noticed the fact that I was sitting in a $1.4 million car.
That's the thing, because if you look at the old Maybach 63 or 65S, yes. right, those things were Cadillac Escalade long, yes. limousine long.
Yes.
They had extra windows in the middle of the car right. so that they can create more space.
Yes. And but, also, they were different in the look.
But I'm suspecting that, you know, if you fall into two categories when you're spending that amount of money on a vehicle. You're spending money to either be flashy and be seen, and you know, you're putting wraps on the car and all that kind of stuff, like that Aston Martin I saw that time in Bangtan.
Right.
Or you're spending up $1.4 million to be completely anonymous in a vehicle that's, one, built like a tank,
right.
and you could practically have a bath in and probably a massage, and nobody would know about it.
Well, yeah. you got a point.
Right?
But you sit in the car like this, you pay $1.4 million, you want to be seen. You want to arrive at a shopping mall foyer or a hotel foyer, and you know, people look, oh, who's this dude coming out of this car? So anyway, car is superb. Drive is superb. Everything about the car is right, except it doesn't look like $1.4 million.
I do think that's the way Mercedes wants to play it, though.
Maybe.
The only car that I saw that competed in this sort of price range was the Range Rover Vogue.
Right. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like this car was made for a specific type of market True. That Mercedes wanted to get to, which is probably somebody like
a lawyer, a well-to-do lawyer.
Yeah, would be what I would think of.
You know,
I mean, somebody who's not that well known on the front pages of Malaysia's
right.
papers,
True.
But
True.
Yeah. well known in their specific industry,
maybe in business circles yeah. and that kind of thing. You know, yeah, it's not your typical flashy vehicle. It's something that somebody who's made a lot of money and knows exactly what they're buying
True.
Has
True.
Bought.
But how many of them are there in Malaysia?
Not many.
Handful.
Not
handful.
Many.
Yeah. Handful.
All right.
Okay.
That was a nice car review, though.
Very nice.
But, of course, as usual, we have a 6-point inspection.
6 points.
Only
okay.
six. We've broken it down because
okay.
we are prime time.
Okay.
I'll take the first three. Arif, as usual, you take the final three. Right. Who are its competitors? The Bentley Conti GT, the Rolls-Royce Phantom, the Range Rover Vogue, Autobiography?
Yeah, they're all there, but of course with the Rolls-Royce and the Bentley, it has to be second-hand
right.
or reconditioned because yeah. the new one's definitely not. This one, direct competitor, like you said, the Range Rover, definitely. The Range Rover will be slightly cheaper, will be as fancy on the inside, yeah. but when you arrive in a Range Rover, you arrive.
Mm. It just exudes presence.
Exactly, because it's a huge shoebox yeah. moving along.
You know what? Outside a shopping mall near where I live, there's mm-hmm. the Land Rover, and it is the James Bond edition Land Rover.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Nice, right?
Oh, wow. So with the winch on it. It's
yes.
all black. Everything's yes. tinted out. No license plate. And right. I'm like, well, that's illegal first.
Yes.
Shouldn't be parked there.
Yes.
But I love it.
Yes.
It is.
You make an impression.
Yeah, of course, right.
Exactly, that's what Malaysians want. See, even you're not a Malaysian and you're impressed with it.
Every time I walk past, I'm like, I want that.
Yes.
Two questions back to back, as usual. It is, right. what did you like about it and what didn't you like about it? We already know you didn't like it because you
no
were
one
not
noticed
seen.
Me. I was not seen
okay,
in it.
But okay. what did you like about it then?
What I liked about it is, you know, Mercedes-Benz, no matter which model you look at today, from the A-Class, A200, right up to this $1.4 million car. So
yeah.
from 230,000 to 1.4, the cabin just rocks.
Right.
It is.
The visual display, the ambient lighting, the way they put the materials together, it just rocked. It just says you have arrived in the cabin.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And, yes. and you even get like a little perfume canister, right?
Yes, in the glove box. Yes.
Just to make your car smell and cover up all the smoke
really?
Smells.
Like you know, it'll
cigar smell.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it'll spray out with the climate control. Exactly. Really
right.
Nice on your side.
And of course, we knew that you didn't like it because...
No.
But other than that, no, really. Was there anything else you didn't like about it?
Well, you know... It's hard not to like a luxury car.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to find something wrong with a luxury
car.
Okay,
nitpick a little.
Okay, if I had to nitpick, I'll say, okay, they did something with the front. Why didn't they do something with the rear? Just change the rear a little bit.
Yeah.
So at least those people following and say, hey, this is not a Mercedes. No, what is this? Huh?
Right.
But when you look at the rear, especially from this angle, it looks exactly like any other S-Class.
Yeah.
So
totally
unless
agree.
I look at the badge, I'm not going to say, eh.
And the old Maybachs also had their own logo on there.
And their own
the
logo,
Mercedes
yes.
Logo. Yeah.
Mm. You know?
So really, how much of a step up is this Maybach over a regular S-Class?
It's not that much of a step up. That's the thing. Because you know why? The materials on an S-Class is already very good. So this is just maybe 20-30% better. But that price just doesn't do it for me, you know? If it was 900,000, of course, you know, that's a big difference, 500,000 ringgit. But no, I just can't, you know, I just can't say yes to 1.4 million on this car.
Final question. This or a Range Rover Vogue?
For me, I will get the Range Rover Vogue, and with the extra money, I'll go and get an A45 AMG.
Oh, that is really smart.
Yeah, so I've got the luxury vehicle, and I've got the super hot hatch. Because the new A45 is the bomb.
Well, there you go. Ladies and gents, that was our car review of the week. It was the Mercedes Maybach S560 here on Cruise Control. If you missed any part of the show, don't worry, don't fret. We have a replay. It happens on Sundays at 2 p.m. Failing that, you can download the podcast a little bit later on. It is available via the app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And, of course, we're also on Spotify. We spoke about how Malacca wants to become the third national car hub. Daniel's answer to that was?
I think not a very good idea.
That's a sound clip right there. Number two, we spoke about discounts or not. JPJ is saying no discounts. The police are saying maybe we have discounts. We're not sure. Of course, we had car launches of Maserati, Mazda. And then locally, we had the Kia Picanto GT line, the Toyota RAV4 maybe, and a few of the bits and bobs. My name is Rich Bradbury on behalf of Arif Ruz and, of course, Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.